like to invite you tonight over to the book of Genesis, chapter 45, verse 1. Genesis, chapter 45, verse 1. Genesis, chapter 45, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself from all them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out for me,' and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege that we have to gather together in your name, Lord, in your house and as your church, to ask your blessings on your word. Open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, Lord, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Joseph Made Himself Known Unto His Brethren. And what we find here really is a revelation of God's mercy to his people. And if you know anything about the life of Joseph, you know he is one of the ones that are a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might remember back, I believe it's in chapter 37, he told his brothers he had this dream, and he told his father that they were going to come and make obeisance to him. And they said, "What?" In so many words, "What? What, us bow down to you? That will never happen." And of course, they were out feeding their sheep, and the father sends his son Joseph out there to check on the brothers. And then, of course, that's when they conspired. They really conspired. You'll find in the book of Psalms that they conspired to kill him. And in fact, even in Genesis as well. But they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And he was rejected, really, of his brothers. Does that sound a little familiar? Jesus was rejected the first time, but they're going to receive him the second time. And now at this time, Joseph is revealing himself to his brothers. And there's guilt, isn't there? There's some problems that they're going to have here. We'll see that here in just a moment. But that's not the heart and mind of the Lord. Isn't that amazing that God is rejected? God the Son was rejected. Even till this day, the eyes of the Jewish people as a nation. Now, I know there are individual Jews that are believers, many of them, by the way, and it seems to be more and more all the time as you turn around. Lots of ministries, one for Israel, so many different ministries that you see online where people are leading and telling Jewish people about the Messiah, and they're getting saved. And that's a wonderful thing. But the Lord is going to reveal himself to the Jewish nation one day, amen, very soon, and that he is their Messiah. And they're going to weep and they're going to cry, but there's going to be rejoicing in the end when it's all said and done. So let's kind of look at this, really, this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of Joseph. And we find, really, a picture of God's presence here in these first three verses. So notice it says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.'" See, Joseph is wanting to reveal himself, who he is, to his brothers, is he not? And he's not doing it to be condemning. He is wanting to restore this relationship that his brothers rejected. He's excited about, listen, there's a good reason why. See, they didn't understand it before when Joseph said, "You're going to bow down and you're going to make obeisance to me. You're going to pay homage to me." But see, they looked at it through the eyes of pride instead of really understanding it. And we weren't really told until this point here that reverence was going to be made because he was going to be really the Savior that would extend their livelihood, right? And so he's all excited about it. He says, "Cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren." And listen to this. "And he wept aloud." Who's weeping? Joseph. He's excited about them knowing who he is. Now, they're going to see it from a different perspective, aren't they? They're going to be a little bit concerned here. "And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Does my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him." Can you imagine that? They were all like, their eyeballs must have been about to fall out of their heads, right? They opened them up so big. They did not expect that. And by the way, listen, when Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah, the one who the Jews have rejected, don't you know their eyeballs are going to be real big. They're going to say, "My goodness, we were taught and we were told that it wasn't you," right? And now they're going to realize that it was him the whole time. "And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence." Question, do you think
think that the Jewish nation is going to be troubled at the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was him the whole time. They're going to be a little bit troubled. So we find Joseph's joy here. And notice God's plan here in verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near unto me. That's God's plan, isn't it? And if you come near, he's not going to cast you out. He is wanting his people to come near to him. Joseph had the same heart. He's wanting them to come near. And by the way, this is not natural. This is not normal. This is supernatural. This is the work of God in the life of Joseph and the life of an individual who yielded to the Lord and God used him in a great and mighty way. This is penned down for your and my example to realize that God can do that same work in our very hearts, that we would draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We're not to condemn. We're witnesses of the Lord's great grace, mercy, and love that he's given to all humanity, that whoever would hear the message and believe the message and receive the message would also have the same eternal life that God has given to us by his grace. Joseph was nothing but a servant in the hand of God. Amen. By the way, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so he says, we need to do likewise. So he says again in verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near unto me, I pray you. And they came near and said, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Don't you know there's coming a day? I am the Messiah that came, Jesus Christ, whom you rejected as a nation, but God is wanting to restore them when he comes the second time to receive them unto himself. And so, notice what happens here in verse 5. Now therefore, because I am your brother that you sold into Egypt, he says, now therefore, be not grieved, because that could be a response, nor angry with yourselves, and that could be another response. Don't you know the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do the same thing? He is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he reveals himself to the Jewish nation, he's going to tell them, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves. Do you know why? Do you know why God can do that? Because he's merciful. Amen? Amen? Don't we need the mercy of God? Do you know why God forgave us? Because he's merciful. That's why he forgave us. Were we not all guilty and condemned and undone? We all were, right? But no, he doesn't do that. God says, I will forgive you if you will receive my grace. And so God says, this is the work of the Lord, and this is God's plan for all of his people. So he says, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. Why? For God did send me before you to preserve life. Isn't that amazing? That's a mind-boggling concept that God, listen to this, that God would use the rebellion of his brothers to fulfill his plan. That is a mind-boggling thing, that God would use the rebellion of the Jewish nation to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, that later on they would receive him. Isn't that amazing? That's God's mercy. Now listen, they did that of their own accord. The awesome, amazing thing about God is he knew that and incorporated that in his plan of redemption. Just like he knows our rebellion and incorporated that to the time and place in your life, in my life, where we trusted him as our Savior. Because none of us deserve that, and yet God's mercy was extended to each and every one of us. He says, notice this in verse 6, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. So he's telling them, listen, it's just getting started. Amen? It's just getting started, and you guys need to move. You guys need to follow the plan here. And by the way, get this now. He has the power, does he not, to do away with, imprison them, have them executed, and what is he giving them? Mercy. Question, does God have the same, even greater power? Yes. He does have the same, and he gives us what? Mercy. He gives us, we don't deserve it. Wow, what an amazing, awesome God we serve. That is the portrait that God wants us to paint from his word to every lost soul, just like we got it. See, we want it sometimes in the flesh. We don't realize it. We're not in the spirit. We want to hit them over the head. But Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to say, oh, listen, the world needs the love and mercy of God just like he gave it to us. And so notice what happens here. He says, I want you to know there's a problem. This is my plan, and I want to preserve you. So that we see God's plan. We see God's preservation here in verse 7. It says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Did you get that? Did Joseph go through some hard things? He did, didn't he? And notice that what he sees. God's plan. He said, God sent me before you that I might preserve you. Do you know, listen, whose idea was it to begin with Abraham, the Jewish nation? And who did he send before the Jewish nation to preserve life, even eternal life? They rejected him, right? And so God sent his son the first time, and he's going to send him again to preserve their lives through the tribulation period. That's going to be something to understand and to see unfold. And so notice he says there's going to be to save your lives by a great deliverance. How about us? Were we saved with a great deliverance? We were saved with a great deliverance. Notice verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Did you see that? Listen, that's amazing. Listen, the Jews rejected the Lord, but that was part of God's plan. Amen. Who would have ever thought that plan up? If you and I were God, that would have been the first. Everything would have worked out perfect to the letter, to the T, right? It would have just worked out just the way we thought it would work out. No hardship. The Lord probably would have never, but that's not the Lord. You know why? Because he understands us better than we understand ourselves. Amen. He incorporated all of that. Really, it's humbling, isn't it? Yes. When you stop and think about it, how is it that God, in the midst, while we were in the midst of the mire, came himself and became one like us and allowed himself to be mistreated because of the love that he had, ultimately killed and shed his blood for our sins, for our redemption? What a God we have. What a God we have that was willing to pay the price for our redemption that he might give us his righteousness. He paid a price for us. And so he says, verse 8, so now, understand this, he's saying, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Remember I was telling you about God's plan and that you were going to make obeisance? This is it. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And so, as Joseph was seeing this take place, even before his brothers saw it, as he trusted the Lord, even when things didn't work out maybe the way that he thought. Were there some things that happened in Joseph's life that didn't work out maybe the way, naturally speaking, we would have thought? And yet God used all of that. And so what did he have? Faith or trust, interchangeable words, in the promise of God. Do you know that you and I can have faith or trust, same word, in the promises of God? Does God work out how many things for our good? Even when they don't go the way that we think they should go? Is that still all? That really requires ultimate trust in the Lord. Amen. See, it's easy to trust the Lord when the sun is shining. But how about when the storms are howling and the sea is boisterous and we're sinking? See, that requires real trust. And that's where God says, who orchestrates, who allows everything to take place and works it out as part of his plan? Who does that? The Lord does that. So see, we can serve the Lord as long as everything is going the way we think it ought to go. But what about when it goes the way we don't think it ought to go? Are we willing to trust the Lord then without wavering and say, Lord, I put my trust in you. Even when you don't make sense to me, you are still holy, you are still righteous, and you're still right. So now it was not you that sent me hither, verse 8, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Notice verse 9 here. Haste ye, hurry along, right? And go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me. And he says, tarry not. Now, we don't have time, but fathom this thought. There's a famine that's been 2 years. They've just been given word there's five more years to go, right? They have been put into a position to see that their lives are at stake if they don't follow the truth. They've got to follow the truth and now fess up to their father about Joseph. See, they got to come clean now. That is the plan of, listen, God wants us to confess our unrighteousness that he might give us his. As long as we're walking in our righteousness, we can't have his. Amen. Can't have both. We will either hold to the one or to the other. And so they've got a decision to make now. Whose righteousness are we going to hold on to? Our lie, to our deception, to our error, or are we going to let that go and tell dad what happened? Amen? Amen. And by the way, God sees it all. And so he says, go now and don't tarry here. Verse 10, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And listen, the Lord, through Joseph right here, is giving the brothers more incentive and more hope of walking in the truth. Amen? So he's saying, listen, look at the exchange I'm giving you. Look, notice what you're getting here. And verse 10, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Remember, when it was dark everywhere else and when there was famine everywhere else, Goshen still had light. And they didn't have the frogs and all those pestilence. And so he says, thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me. That's the Lord's will. And notice, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast that's of any great value is what he's telling them. All that you, don't you like that news? Listen, not just you, but your whole family. Amen. Not just you, but all of you. And so I think they're a little bit excited. Last thought, God's purpose, right? We see his plan. We see his preservation. Last thought, his purpose, verse 11. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. You know, God does not want us to come to spiritual poverty. He says, if you'll look to me and trust me, even when it doesn't make sense, You'll follow my direction. You know, God wants his people to pray, doesn't he? We ought, and that's why I tell you, listen, we ought to get serious with the Lord and have a little journal just so that we're marking down and we're being up front and honest. And I would just tell you, I think it's good, and count all the prayer when you're in your car, when you're walking around, when you're doing whatever you're doing, all that counts. But I think it's probably more important that we make an appointment with the Lord and have an altar somewhere at our house. That could be beside your bed, that could be in your favorite chair, or wherever it might be, that you get alone and you talk to the Lord for however long. However long. He's worthy, is he not? Yes. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, that you make a time that, God, I am stopping my day. Listen, I am stopping my day. Because you are the eternal one, the savior of my soul, the lover of my soul, and you're important to me. Amen. And I'm going to make time for you. And this time is yours, Lord. And there will I nourish thee. And he says, you know, if you abide in me and I abide in you, this is the Lord speaking this in John chapter 15, you're going to bear fruit. Amen. You're going to bear more fruit and you're going to bear much fruit. You know, Jesus was excited about bearing fruit in our lives. Isn't that amazing? The Lord is excited about making your life and mine fruitful. Isn't that good? And he says, verse 12, and behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. You know, God wants to affirm that when we follow the word of God, that it's God himself guiding our lives to honor him. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after this, his brethren talked with him. There was restoration there, wasn't there? Get this, listen. I think while Joseph was speaking the whole time, I think the brothers were like this, with their mouths hanging low. And by the way, man, this guy's got all the power. And then when he started weeping and crying on them all, man, what a reception. Now they were able to fellowship. See, because Joseph displayed his love and affection for them. Do you know why the Jews are going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ a second time? Because the Lord is going to display and reveal his affection and love for them. Just like he has for us.
Amen.
And wants to do for us.
Amen.
Jesus says, if you'll draw near to me, God says that, what will he do?
He'll draw near to us.
Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and the truths that you reveal to our hearts and minds about what you've given to us in your mercy and grace and the salvation that you've provided. May you, Lord, stir up our hearts to be excited about seeking and drawing closer to you and abiding in you and calling upon you, Lord, to guide us in your ways. Bless as we break off for prayer. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.